Hey everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 330 Sports Show. We are going to do a complete movie breakdown of the 1996 Adam Sandler sports movie classic, Happy Gilmore. Today is Thursday, June 24th, 2021. I'm your host, Justin Coffin, and I'm going to be joined by a great panel in just a few minutes here. So let me give you a quick breakdown of the movie and what we're going to be doing. So Happy Gilmore is our first sports movie breakdown that we're going to do. You may remember we visited Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and did a movie breakdown of the movie Groundhog Day, the Bill Murray classic back in February. In March, we also did our ultimate sports movie bracket, and Happy Gilmore made it to the Elite Eight. In our miscellaneous sports region. So this is going to be our second film movie breakdown. Plenty more coming. We're going to alternate between sport and non-sport movies to have a lot of fun with it. So to start with Happy Gilmore, the movie was released February 16th, 1996, and it just celebrated its 25th anniversary. It's a PG-13 movie with a 92-minute runtime. It was written by Tim Herlihy and Adam Sandler, which was then also rewritten by Judge Apatow, but not credited. It was directed by Dennis Dugan, who plays Doug Thompson in the film. The movie earned a box office of $41.2 million on a $12 million budget. It stars Adam Sandler as Happy Gilmore, Christopher McDonald as Shooter McGavin, Julie Bowen as Virginia Bennett, Frances Bay as Grandma, and Carl Weathers as Chubbs Peterson. It won an MTV Movie Award for Best Fight between Adam Sandler and The Price is Right host Bob Barker. So let me give you a quick synopsis of the movie. I'm sure you've all seen it, but we're going to do a quick synopsis to just kind of recap, refresh your memory. So all Happy Gilmore, again, played by Adam Sandler, has ever wanted to be is a professional hockey player. But he soon discovers he may actually have a talent for a completely different sport, golf. When his grandmother, played by Frances Bay, learns she is about to lose her home because of back pay to the IRS, Happy joins the Professional Golfers League and tries to win enough money to earn the house back for her. With his powerful driving skills and his foul-mouthed attitude, he becomes an unlikely golf hero, much to the chagrin of the well-mannered golf professionals. So I'm going to go ahead and play our movie trailer for you right now. So go ahead and take a listen to that.
For 400 years, golf has been a gentleman's game, a game of tradition, etiquette, and above all, sportsmanship, until now. Happy Gilmore. He was a hockey player.
Touch my puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
Who was skated on thin ice. But when his grandma needed his help,
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000. We're gonna have to sell the house to someone else.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
He discovered a new talent.
I was just like 400 yards away.
It's unbelievable. Now he's going from the links.
See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
To the links.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs,
Paul? Are you kidding?
He's going to be on the tour. That's super.
He's got the swing. He's got the drive.
He shoots, he scores.
He's got the balls.
Oh, God. It hurt a little, but I'm all right.
What a large and economically diverse crowd here at the Invitational. I guess it's the new tour sensation, Happy Gilmore.
Hey, if I saw myself in clothes like those, I'd have to kick my own ass.
And while he's trying to keep Granny out of the rest home,
I'm telling you, this place is perfect. You're going to make friends in no time.
He's driving the game of golf.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Straight into the ground.
Damn you people, this is golf.
I'm Bob Barker. Looks like you and I are going to be playing together today.
Oh.
This guy sucks. All right, let's go.
Universal Pictures presents Adam Sandler.
The price is wrong, Bob.
as golf's missing link, Happy Gilmore.
All right, we're back. I'm going to throw it over to our panel now. We're going to break down a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to go over the cast, basic info, the plot of the movie, our best scenes, our favorite quotes, some mistakes that were made in the movie, a lot of things that we would maybe change or looked at. We're going to go over a ton of trivia and tidbits, some fun facts from the movie. We're going to give our MVPs of the movie, our reactions, our memories from growing up and watching this. And we're going to grade it. And each movie we break down, we're going to grade and then put that into sort of our Hall of Fame or our overall impressions of each movie we break down. So appreciate you guys listening. Take a listen, see what you think. Make sure to write in any comments that you might have and, share this out with anyone that you might think might be interested. So we'll throw it over to our panel right now and hope you enjoy it. Reminders about our show and about our network. First of all, you can watch every episode of the 330 Sports Show on Youngstown Studios Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter pages every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. You can also follow us on social media. My particular show, you can follow at the numbers 330 Sports Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can follow the Youngstown Studio page on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube just by searching that. You can listen and find us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Please do us a favor and like, subscribe, and help us grow our network by leaving a rating and comment. That really helps us grow. You can always call in live to the show when our shows are live, 330-595-1600. And if you would like to advertise your brand, you can reach more than 20,000 people per week by advertising on our network and through our shows. So if you would like that, feel free to call into Youngstown Studios at 330-259-7278. And someone from our marketing team will get in contact with you. Or you can also send us a quick email, sponsors@youngstownstudio.com. Appreciate, as always, you guys listening and hope you enjoy the rest of the show. All right, joining me is Dave Hodge and Greg Kirchner. We may have a guest appearance by Jim Cutchell, to be determined, but we are going to talk now about Happy Gilmore, a 1996 Adam Sandler movie. I think everybody in the world, or at least everyone we know in the world, has seen it. So we're going to get into all the different details of this movie. We're going to talk about the cast, our favorite scenes, quotes, stuff like that. We're going to talk about interesting facts, mistakes, all that stuff. So before we get started, Greg, we'll just go with you. Like, what's your memories of this movie? Like, what do you remember most about this movie?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, like, and it's always I've noticed when it's only a second one of these we've done, but like, when you rewatch it and you know you're going to have to talk about it, it changes kind of like your whole perspective of the movie, and you're watching it sort of at a different level. But the I think we got a guest
appearance coming in right now.
Yeah, I guess quickly I will say the biggest thing that hit me from watching this movie was just how many quotable lines there are and how many lines we've probably said to each other for the last 20 years. And I'd never even, I mean, some of them I knew they came from Happy Gilmore, but some of them are like, oh my gosh, that's where this came from. Like, it was just like, it's such a quotable movie. Oh geez.
That is an absolutely terrifying picture.
That is such a, so I think just all the quotes. Okay.
Hodge, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, definitely a ton of quotes. And I think a lot of them are like just like real basic. They're not like, I don't know what we got going on here. But the quotes aren't like that complex. Like, you know, you see a lot of like goofy quotes coming out of new movies with like all the new comedy movies, but it's memorable. I mean, at this time, I remember, so it was like 14 when the movie was coming out, and this was when Adam Sandler just had Billy Madison, and like he was kind of like the, you know, Will Ferrell of the time, you know, like of, you know, recent times, I guess you could say, and just whatever he did, like you had to be watching because it was funny. So, but yeah, I agree with you, Greg, on the point of when you go back and you watch it, and I've been watching twice in the past 2 weeks to try to like look at it from a different angle. I found myself more like trying to analyze the actual movie as opposed to like just enjoying the funny parts of it. But definitely, you know, simple movie for its time, but definitely a classic. So it's one of my favorites for Adam Sandler. I'm surprised actually it's not, you know, higher up in the box office. I'm sure you'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the budget for this movie was like $12 million, and it brought in about 42. But you know, at the time, 42 million. You know, you do inflation. I'm not sure what that equals out to today, but I'm sure it would be much, much more. And you got to factor in this movie came out in February. You know, it's not a summer movie. But a lot of people credit the rise in popularity of golf is attributed to this movie. At the same time, Tiger Woods was kind of like reaching, you know, like kind of his point in his golf career where he was about to take off. So I thought that was kind of neat too. So, so this movie, you know, just 25th anniversary. Did you guys know this was based off of like one of his like real life friends?
Not until I started like, you know, doing some research.
But same, yeah. Same.
Yeah. So apparently this, he had a real life friend in as a kid named Kyle McDonough, who, you know, played a little bit of hockey. I don't know if it was minor league or whatever, but I just thought that was interesting. And apparently Adam Sandler is just absolutely terrible at both hockey and golf in real life. So, I will tell you what, why don't we do this? So why don't we start with, I guess, just the overall plot. And, you know, I know we're going to get into, I guess we'll talk about some of our favorite scenes, some plot holes, some mistakes, and things like that. And you know, we'll kind of get into it from that. So, so I guess favorite scenes, favorite parts of the movie, from your guys' perspective.
I'll go ahead and go. I guess I mean there's a lot of them, but there's a lot to choose from. I think the favorite scene's got to be the Bob Barker fight, in my opinion. In which, you know, you read about too, and he actually, you know, I guess I read something about him only agreeing to do it, like, if he can do his own fight, like, actually perform the fight, because they were going to get somebody else to stunt double for him. And I don't know how old he was at the time.
He was 72 at the time.
Jeez, okay. And then actually just googling around, they had like another skit where they were in the hospital together, and they did like a remake of it too. So, but that's definitely I think the best scene of the movie. So,
it's one of the things I really like about the movie too. Is it's like, it's Dave, you sort of alluded to it. It's like a really tight, like it says 92 minutes or something, but that includes credits. It's like about an hour and 25 minutes. Like it's quick, and it's like there's no, you know, anymore, sometimes they'll make a movie like this like 2 hours and 10 minutes long, and it'll just be like some weird side plot that goes on way too long. Yeah. But it just runs together. I don't know if it's my favorite scene, but the thing that popped into my mind immediately was basically Ben Stiller's entrance into this movie. And like and that was one of the things when I talked about the quotes, like the three line like barrage. That he like, I never remembered like the warm glass of shut the hell up, like go to sleep before I put you to sleep, and you're in my world now, grandma. I never realized that he just reeled those off like back to back to back. That's basically like just an absolute barrage. So that part made me like laugh out loud the loudest, and probably it was just the funniest to me, but the whole movie's great.
That's awesome.
Just runs like every. It's just every scene's memorable.
No doubt.
Yeah, you said the plot too. I mean, like when I started looking at with that lens that we talked about earlier, like an analytical view. I mean, it opens up. He's like, my mom moves to Egypt. And my dad dies from a hockey puck, for God's sakes, with all within like the opening credits. And it's just, you know, before you know it, he's on the tour. Like, you know, one of the parts that amazes me is like, hey, you should play in this local tournament tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, if you win, you're on the pro tour.
I know, like,
by God, he's going to play. And by God, he's gonna win.
Right.
There's a lot of holes in this movie, and literally all of them are around the actual technical golf aspect of the movie. But enjoyable.
Yeah.
So just show up, make the tour. Like, oh, by the way, the most popular player on tour is gonna fly out here to make an appearance.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's like 15 people standing there, like to play, like in this town, to play, you know, in the Waterbury Open or whatever. But I mean, at the time, though, that's what's funny is like when you're like 14, 13, watching this movie, you're like, you didn't think about any of that, you know?
Exactly. So yeah. let's go into some of the characters, and we're trying to get Cutchell on. I sent him a couple other links, but we'll see if he can come on. But so let's start with the characters. Obviously, we'll get into Adam Sandler throughout this. So let's start with Shooter McGavin. So he was played by what's his name?
McDonald.
Yeah, Christopher McDonald. Yeah. So he was initially he actually turned down the role twice in this movie. They offered it to one of Greg's favorites, Kevin Costner, who I do not think that would have went well. I think that guy was perfectly cast as literally the best like sports movie villain, because he's funny, but he also like you kind of think he's like a little bit of an asshole in the movie too. So to me, he's one of the best characters in the entire movie. So what's your guys' thoughts overall on you can talk about any of the characters really. So
did you pick him in the sports movie bracket? Did you pick him as your favorite villain?
Yeah.
I after watching this, he's way up there. Like he's better than I remember, just in everything. Even at the beginning when he's like to Virginia, he's like, "Why don't you go fetch me a Pepsi or something?" And he's literally just a dick from out of the shoot.
Oh, hey, diet.
So you got some really good ideas for the tour. Yeah, why don't you get me a Pepsi? Yeah, it's amazing, and just the terrible jokes. Like he just has like the just everything about him.
Yeah, I could not. When you hear that Kevin Costner was going to play that role, I could not. I mean, I don't even know if it's a good movie anymore if Kevin Costner's in. I mean, I'm not going to put Kevin Costner down to try to do it, but like he by far is one of the best characters in it. I mean, the other cut. I mean, obviously Ben Stiller you mentioned, and I didn't even know he was uncredited in this film until you know, after reading into it. But the other one, I guess, of course, I think is just kind of comical. It's kind of hard, silly to watch back. Is Carl Weathers, right? because he obviously played like Predator, and you know, did Apollo Creed, and he's all action star, and he comes into this comedy thing. And they said it changed, like you know, he got into some other shows afterwards and got out of the pure action role. But I think it's just kind of comical how his one arm's like obviously like 5 inches longer than his other arm, because
they do not try to disguise that at all.
He's definitely a great character in the movie. So
yeah, no doubt.
And also, like, this is a random note I typed. Carl Weathers can sing a little bit too. Like, that's actually pretty impressive. I was like, holy cow, maybe versatile than we thought he was. But
yeah,
underrated sports movie coach is Chubbs Peterson.
No doubt.
All right. How about, we try to get a Seinfeld reference in on every one of these podcasts we do. So next character I'm going to go to is Grandma. I mean, Marble Rye, you know, it's like, shut up, you old bag. But she plays a phenomenal character too. You know, she is like the epitome of what you would think of a grandma, you know, like a sweet, old, kind lady that you just love. And obviously Adam Sandler's character loves her, wants to take care of her, but has to put her in this nursing home, which, you know, Dave mentioned how played by Ben Stiller, you know, makes it miserable. So, but thoughts on her character?
Not to mention he's running a sweatshop of quilts. $100 a quilt. Oh, man. Anyways.
Don't complain or you'll pull landscaping duty.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So what I'm trying to think, besides Seinfeld, do you guys know anything else she's been in? I know I've seen her in other places, but I can't think offhand.
She's not the same old lady as in The Wedding Singer, right?
That's, I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. We'll check her.
She seems so familiar, but literally could be just so familiar from this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very
good. And Seinfeld, but yeah. Just a great, sweet old grandma. You hit it on the head.
Yeah, dressing up like Kiss and all that, and then she plays like the cutscenes with the Kiss mask on, and her and Shooter are like making out or whatever. It's a little bit weird, but yeah, she's a great little grandma. So,
all right,
I just did a quick scan of her IMDb, and there's really not a lot on here.
Oh, okay, all right, no, that's good. I just wanted to verify that because I know the Seinfeld thing very, very well, but I couldn't think of anything else.
It looks like she's done like a lot of guest appearances on like TV shows. So she probably just
comes
into our lives from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
She's died in 2011 at 92. Okay. So,
yeah.
And let's talk about the final main character. I would say there's five main characters in this movie. And then the final one would be played by Julie Bowen. That would be Virginia Bennett, which Adam, you know, in all my research and all my notes and stuff, I still didn't look up the double V thing that Adam Sandler put. You know, he puts these female characters in these lead roles and they all have double V you know, names. So Vicki Vallencourt, you got Veronica Vaughn, and now you got Virginia Bennett. I'm not sure if I'm missing anybody, but those are the three that I can think of offhand. But I guess thoughts on Julie Bowen's character.
I never knew that. Is there a reason why he does double V? Is that?
I bet there is. I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know,
maybe just an artistic touch.
Yeah. No, she plays a good character. I mean, I don't see a lot of memorable lines. I mean, when her and Sandler are together, I like when he's like on the ice rink. He's like, "What? Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark."
Talk about your all-time backfire.
Yeah, but no, she's perfect for this role too. So, I mean, I don't know if there was anybody else in consideration for the role, but, you know, I think she did a good job. So, not much to add there.
She's aged very nicely. I mean, it's interesting because she was, I just looked it up real quick. She's born in 1970, so she's 51 now, which would have made her 25, 26 when the movie was filmed. But she's probably playing a character that realistically is probably 30, 35.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks that. And now she's like 50 and she still looks 30 or 35. So,
yeah.
It's almost hard to even tell it's the same person in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, good character. I'm trying to think if I had to rank the three VVs.
Actually, I just looked it up. There's actually six.
Is there six?
And there's six that I can find. So Veronica Vaughn, Billy Madison, Virginia Bennett, Happy Gilmore, Vicki Vallencourt, The Waterboy, Valerie Moran, which is Little Nicky. That's not a very good movie. Violet Van Patten, that kind of counts. Pixar, and Violet Valentine, also played by Julie Bowen in last year's Hubie Halloween, which was on Netflix. And actually kind of a funny movie. So I'd say Julie Bowen's got to win based on being, you know, 33% of that list. But I don't know. But I would say, going back to Julie Bowen real quick, she looks better, like you said. I think she looks better now than she did back then. And I don't know if that's necessarily just like a 90s hairstyle or dress type thing. But she definitely looks better in Modern Family than she did in this movie. So, all right. So we're through the characters. Let's talk a little bit real quick about the music, because you had mentioned Chubb's singing. That song is called "We've Only Just Begun." I'm not exactly sure who the artist is, but the music score in this movie was actually put in charge by, remember the band Devo, Whip It Good?
Mm-hmm.
Their front man is actually in charge of the music score for this. His name is Mark Mothersbaugh. So that's kind of a little cool thing there. And you know, this is a 330 show. I believe him or some of the group members went to Kent State University. So, you know, a little ode to around here as well. So, I think Adam Sandler movies in general really put out good music. So I just, like, off the top of my head wrote down, and then I went back and looked through the credits of the different scores and different songs in this. So Tuesday's Gone begins and ends the movie. That's a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. That's a song I would have no idea about if not for this movie, probably, or maybe like it might be in Forrest Gump or another movie like that. the song he sings when he's leaving, or when the girlfriend breaks up with him and he's leaving, is a song by Exile, "Kiss You All Over." When he's singing into the loudspeaker, the intercom there. That "Whoa Ho Ho It's Magic" song, that's in here. "Carry On My Wayward Son," Kansas. "Wooly Bully."
Jump around.
Around. "Endless Love," of course.
Oh, yeah. You can't forget "Endless Love," Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. "Rock and Roll Part 2, Gary Glitter. So a bunch of ones. There's a
song. "We've Only Just Begun" is by the Carpenters.
Oh, the Carpenters. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. There's another song. I think it's just straight instrumental, but it's called "Green Onions." I just recommend looking that up afterwards. It's just got a really cool beat to it, and you'll recognize it as soon as you hear it. So pretty cool on the musical, just overall music score and the music that's in the movie, you know, in the montages and whatnot. So,
and I always look at that too. And I like sometimes you can kind of tell movies that, I don't know, half-ass their music, because I know, you know, for to get a song like "Jump Around" or to get like some of the songs that they got in there, I mean, you got to pay a pretty good chunk of money for that. So you'll see movies like they'll have a song from a popular band, but it'll be like their 10th most popular song or something, and you know, maybe they skimped on the music a little bit, but they kind of went for it and paid up for some really good songs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the lead in to Tuesday's Gone is so good. Like, I'm with you. I remember the first time I watched it being like, that's a really good song. I have no idea what it is. Probably went on Napster to look it up. But it's good.
Yeah. And then your computer crashes 2 days later.
Yeah.
LimeWire. Oh, man.
I mean, when I think of this movie, I didn't think of like the soundtrack as something standing out. But then, like you said, when you reflect and look back at it, like that, again, Tuesday's Gone, like you just said, all those songs, like, I mean, it's got a good track to it. It's just not really, that's not what you go to the movie for. That's not what I looked at when we first watched it. So I thought definitely sneaky good for sure. So.
Yeah. And I don't think you realize how important the music is until you're actually like, realize, oh, this is like, makes it memorable. You know, this part I remember, like, oh, the you know, the Rock and Roll Part 2, like, the, some people call it the Hey Song, You know, like you can like picture the like the montage in your head of what's going on. So I'll tell you what, let's transition in a little bit. Let's go to just some interesting facts about this movie. So, Greg, I know you're kind of like the tidbit guy, so I'm going to let you lead off with this. I got a bunch written down, but I'm going to let you lead off with this and share some stuff you got.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You mentioned the one about Bob, but you actually hit a lot of them so far, which is great. I like the Carl Weathers wearing the Lacoste in most of his scenes, which is obviously a tribute to his lost hand from an alligator.
Yeah,
which is cool, and Lacoste is cool too. What is this too? There are two true PGA golfers that have roles in the movie. So a guy named Mark Lai, which I believe is he's on TV. I believe he's a commentator, a golf commentator now. He was the golfer who was talking to Happy at the cocktail party that was talking to him about the gold jacket when they were giving shooters shit for not having one. And then obviously Lee Trevino, who has a quietly great role in the movie with shaking his head repeatedly. He does have one line. Do you know what that one line is?
Oh, gosh.
I know what it is, but I'm going to see if Dave can come up with it.
I can't. I'm trying to think of what he's saying.
Hey,
I like a picture. What's that?
Does this help you out a little bit?
No, just give it to me. I don't want to waste the time. But
go ahead, Greg.
Grizzly Adams did have a beat.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then they mention Nick Faldo in the movie, but he's never actually in the movie. And then the only other one that I have at least handy is a Vern Lundquist one. We haven't talked about Vern yet, but I actually think I heard the podcast where he stated this, but I guess Vern still gets a $34 check every month from the Screen Actors Guild for his performance, we can maybe get into that later, but he's in the movie a lot more than I remember him being. So that pays for part of his Steamboat Springs residence, I guess.
No doubt. So you had mentioned two professional golfers that are actually, you know, make appearances in the movie. Looking at some of the research, I found out there were two actual professional hockey players in the hockey tryout that are just kind of make cameos. They don't have any lines or anything, but Vincent LeCavalier for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Stanley Cup champion. And then I remember this guy very, very well for the Colorado Avalanche, Joe Sakic. Or is those Joe Sakic? I believe.
I imagine he's in the Hall of Fame, and I know LeCavalier was really good too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
So yeah, two really good golfers, and you know, might have just been SNL fans that met up with Sandler and were like, "Hey, we'll be in your movie." So, all right. So a couple other things. The director of this movie was actually cast as Doug Thompson. I believe they call it, it's not the PGA, but like the PGT in this movie. It's like the Professional Golfers Tour. He plays the president of that tour. And, you know, also, like I said, the director. Ben Stiller's character is uncredited in this movie. And I'm not exactly sure why, but I thought that was kind of neat. And then the guy who plays the IRS tax guy is Robert Schmeigel, who was a writer on SNL and a writer with Adam Sandler and a lot of stuff. So I thought that was pretty neat. We had mentioned the Tiger Woods thing. Tiger Woods rose to fame basically as soon as this movie, you know, they almost like coincided like their careers, Adam Sandler and Tiger Woods. So, that's one other thing. And then, Greg, I got to mention this because you're the one that pointed this out to me a couple months ago around the Masters time. But Happy Gilmore's first caddy that's given to him, I mean, is that a dead ringer for Will Zalatoris or what?
Yeah. Well, I think even it's, yeah, and Zalatoris has even like embraced that now. I think he even got it on his, he got his wedges engraved or something that says something like Gilmore's Happy's Caddy or something. Yeah. It's incredible. Watching it again is crazy.
That's awesome. So yeah, let's go through. We're gonna come back for part two here in a couple minutes, but we'll try to bring Cutchell in for that part. But let's go over just a few mistakes that are in the movie. There was one really, really obvious one. I even sent you guys the timestamp that I found. I just paused it because I'm like, I never noticed that the first time or the first however many times I watched the movie. But so in the tour championship on the very first day of play, you can see that car that's driven by the crazed fan, like, and it's already underneath the tower on the first day. Like, the crash hasn't happened yet. So if you guys want to ever look that up, I watched this on HBO and I paused it. It's at the 1:09:36 mark. So I recommend checking that out. But yeah. It's definitely like, I mean, I don't know how I never noticed that before, because there's people all around the green, and the Volkswagen Beetle is literally right there in plain sight. So that's interesting. You guys have any? I have plenty of mistakes, but do you guys have any that you can think of offhand? I know, Greg, you got some pet peeves with this movie.
Yeah, I'm wondering I might want to have Cutchell on for some of these interesting golf ones. But
yeah,
as far as errors in the movie, I don't have any others that would qualify as that. But I mean, I am interested in the one you mentioned. It's like, I just wonder, because there's always these kind of egregious errors in a lot of different movies, but they obviously had to see this when they were editing the movie, but they probably, everybody was home and they were probably like, shit, we hit our budget. Like,
right.
Whatever. Yeah. But you always wonder, or they just leave it in there just to like, just because it's like fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And it's kind of almost pre-internet too. So no one's going to be dissecting the movie like we are right now, you know, back then. So I don't know. I'll leave the specific golf ones for, you know, when we come back. But here's another interesting one. I did not know this. I looked and did some research and found this one out. But Happy's car, I'm not going to say what name type of the car is, because that's a trivia question for later, has a sunroof in it. When the lady from the nursing home jumps on the car, the Mista lady, and he dumps the bag of food out. He's like, here, eat this, leave us alone. And then like later in the movie, there's no sunroof. So, you know, they obviously use multiple cars and that one just happened to have a sunroof. So another really good one that's pretty obvious. I think I might even notice this is, Dave, what'd you say? We were 14 when this came out.
Yeah.
So when Happy's in the batting cage, he's like, 364 more days till hockey tryouts. I got to toughen up. So he's in the batting cage and the ball's getting shot at him. And, you know, Chubbs is like, get out of there, boy. You're making me sick. So he pulls the plug. And then, like, the little kid that's watching him gets in.
Yeah.
And it's still unplugged, but the ball hits him. You know what I mean? So that's a pretty obvious error. Another one, someone else pointed this out. This is somebody else's research. I'm going to just use it. But, I mean, from when they show Happy Gilmore as a little boy to obviously, what is he, like a 27-year-old guy? His grandma never ages. So she's
going to mention that.
And the rest of mine I think are pretty much golfing ones. But the only other one I want to mention is why, and this is just my question, why the hell is Shooter allowed to be in Happy's suspension meeting when, you know, like when would that ever happen? That would be like Michael Jordan getting in a fight with a referee, and then, but like Charles Barkley comes in and is like, like, you got to kick him out of the league. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So that was one that really pointed me out.
Shooter. Yeah. Shooter is just around the entire movie. That's probably just another like deeper question. Like where is Waterbury?
Yeah.
What's going on? Like what's going on that he just randomly is like at the auction of grandma's house? And like,
I was trying to figure that. I mean, those were some of the details. I mean, I think obviously the golf stuff, which we can get into, was a lot of things that came to mind. But I was like I paused and I was like, okay, where is Waterbury? And there's a Waterbury, Connecticut. So I'm assuming maybe he's in Connecticut potentially. And then of course, why is Shooter there? And there's like 15 people there and they all look like they're like, you know, like people in my neighborhood here that just showed up to golf, you know, like, you know, average people, no one looks like a professional golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there just watching the tour. And then like the next week he's on. So he obviously gets on the tour. Next week he's driving into Portland, you know, so he's driving from Connecticut to Portland.
Are we thinking this is Portland, Oregon? That's what I'm thinking. Or is it Portland?
Yes.
Or is
I believe most of the movie was actually filmed in like the British Columbia area.
Oh,
okay. But they don't really, they do name some specific cities and towns. Cleveland's one of them.
Yes.
In this. Yeah. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. The last thing I want to mention before we come back for like round two here is the IRS is not going to repossess your house. That would be a county, you know, thing. The IRS, you know, might hit you up for some taxes, but they're not individually taking your house. They don't have that kind of time or resources to come after a 80-year-old woman's house that only owes $270,000 in back taxes. So,
not to mention like her couch and her dad's golf club and like all her stuff. That was the other thing that was jumping out. I know we got time here, but like how did she like, you know, what taxes does she owe at this point?
Exactly.
You know, like,
I mean, just she's so old. Come on, look at her.
Yeah. That's really funny. I know we got a minute. Like I just did the math because they said she hasn't paid taxes in 10 years. She owes $270,000. So I was assuming it was property taxes.
Yeah.
Which I guess there's penalties and interest or whatever, because I'm like $27,000 a year in property taxes. That's about $2,000 a month. That's a nice house, but I'm not sure it's that nice.
Yeah.
I was trying to do the math, but there's probably some interest and penalties in there. And I'm sure nobody put thought into it. They probably put not as much thought into that some of the golf scoring. So
yeah.
All right. Let's we're gonna come right back, guys. So we're gonna run this back in a second. All right. We'll be back for intermission, to use a hockey term.
Hey, everybody. Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Just wanted to remind you all the different ways you can watch and listen to our show. First of all, follow us on social media at 330 Sports Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also watch all of our shows live or on demand through Youngstown Studios. Please follow the Youngstown Studios Facebook page, at Ytown Studio on Twitter, at Youngstown Studio on Facebook, and at Youngstown Studio on YouTube. Like, subscribe, share that out to anyone you think too might be interested. You can also listen on any podcast platform, whatever your favorite one might be, just by simply searching Youngstown Studios. And you can look through all of our catalog of different shows we have. Mine, obviously, is the 330 Sports Show. And we have several different shows on our network that you can take a look at. So my show is all about sports, entertainment, and we have a lot of different topics, too, we cover. So as well as some great guests. So appreciate you watching. Appreciate you listening. Please share this with anyone you think will be interested or would love to support the page. Again, we appreciate all of you guys watching, listening, and taking the time out of your day. We want to continue to bring you great content. So feel free to reach out to us on social media, send us a message, leave a comment, subscribe, anything we can do to bring you better content. That's what we're here for. So everyone have a great day. Appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy our programming. All right, we're back for round two here. Dave Hodge, Greg Kirchner, and Jim Cutchell is now joining us. I kicked him out of the first meeting accidentally, and it wouldn't let him back in, so that's my fault. But he's joining us for round two here. So before we left, we were talking about mistakes in the movie. So Greg, I'm gonna have you and Jim kind of lead this because you two are probably the more prominent golfers than Dave and I. You know, I don't want to say Dave's not, but, you know, I know, like, Greg and Jim, you guys are. But what kind of golfing mistakes in this movie were, like, blatant obvious?
Well, I don't even know where to start here, but I guess I'll lead off with the whole How did the scoring work in the Waterbury Open that he was able to win the tournament? He triple bogeys the first hole. So I went through it. He swings and misses on the first shot.
Did they count that?
That is one. He was he was trying to hit the ball, so it counts. Then he hit it onto the green. It's presumably a par four. Then he proceeded to putt it off the green for three, hit it back onto the green for four, putt it past the hole, and then two more putts for a seven and a triple bogey. And then they go through the rest of the – I think he gets a hole-in-one on the next hole. Okay, so he's back to even par. But either way, like on the last hole, he somehow has four putts to win. So he's like – about giving away about eight shots in the two holes that we saw, yet he still wins the tournament. So I'm curious what's going on there. That was the first one that I had.
Okay.
I don't want to steal thunder on the other one, but you can. There's one other ridiculous one from a scoring standpoint that happens later.
Are we talking in the tour championship in the rough?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. You guys.
All right, I'll just go with it. Yeah, it's the scene where he has the Pappy place that's invaded by Shooter and all that. So, yeah. So presumably he's hit his first shot into the rough.
Oh yeah.
Probably a par four. Let's just say it's a par four. After he has those really bad visions, he swings and misses four times. Yeah. The fifth shot goes into the water.
Yeah.
So that would be 2, 3, 4, 5 miss, 6 into the water, 7's a penalty stroke. He's dropping 8. So he's hitting 8 from essentially the same spot he was in. Let's just say he hits it on and 2 putts for a 10. That's 6 over par on that hole. And the next thing they show is the score going from 4 under to 3 under.
So, a couple hole in ones on par fours, you're right back in it.
Not sure. I mean, again, we're not like it's more, it doesn't like ruin the movie by any stretch, but it's kind of like, what the fuck is this? But it's just more funny when you watch it because I don't think I ever really thought about it until I saw it.
Yeah, the strokes and then when he's just swinging in that tall rough, after having playing golf now, like you kind of realize, okay, this there's no way, especially against Shooter, it's supposed to be so good. So.
Exactly. Yeah, Shooter, like it doesn't. Shooter's not making many bogeys. I don't think. I feel like he's pretty steady.
Yeah.
So just not sure what's going on there, but and then he hits like one shot and he's like, we've only just begun. You're probably 12 shots back at that point, but hey, that's why it's
because the first tournament that Happy was in on the tour, I'm pretty sure it was the first one. I mean, my memory's slipping me a little bit, but Shooter had like tapped in for like the win, and then they cut Happy, who's like 3 holes behind him somehow, and like, you know, normally your leaders are at the end, and my guess is Shooter's probably leading the whole tournament or something close, but he finishes and then they cut to Happy, who's like in the middle of the course,
right?
And like, you know, making a scene and cussing and beating people up or whatever he was doing, but just felt a little inaccurate there.
Well, it feels like, well, every tournament except for the last one feels like it's like one day, or at least it's it seems like it's one day, no cuts, because he's doing what? Interesting tour.
I also think it's interesting when Shooter does the first no look putt and like not hits it. I mean, there's a lot of like, you know, 20-foot putts that are just drained with like fast speed. I mean, they're like coming in hot and they land ready to hit the back of that cup. So, but the other thing I thought was funny is like when he's like, Shooter gets in like the rough and he's like, you know, past the green and he's up on the slope, right? And he has to go down, like kind of like almost like a flop down to, or whatever it is to get down to the green. And the guy's like, I think he should use a 5-iron. So I'm guessing he's going to do a bump and run or something like that in the rough. He goes, give me my wedge. Then he like fires the caddy right then and there.
Who, by the way, is his same caddy on the tour championship later. So that was an idle threat.
Reconciled.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The no-look putt is such a good flex. And maybe Jordan Spieth noticed that when he started doing that for a while, but just the way he does it though, it's like it's so like over the top, like,
yeah. He's like he's staring at Sandler if he does it.
How about the putt where Sandler hits way past the hole, but you can kind of see it's like grooved out for the ball to like roll back. It's like, did that go in? Is that good? I'm not sure, you know? So that one. All right, let me ask you guys about this one. So this is like right towards the end of the movie, 18th green, tour championship. It's at the 59-minute mark. So if Shooter's ball lands directly on Mr. Larson, played by Richard Kiel, on his foot, most likely, wouldn't you think the ball would have bounced and probably landed on his foot? And then Doug, who is the tour president or whatever, comes over and he's like, "Hey, Doug, do I get a drop?" And he's like, "No, you got to play the ball as it lies." So, I mean, I can't recall ever you'd having to hit the ball off of any object, let alone a person's foot. So, you guys might know better than me on that.
Jim, you could take this one.
Right, I think you get to move it. I mean, there's been things like, I think it was at the Memorial maybe, where that ball ended up in the back of a golf cart.
Yeah.
And he got to mark the spot below the cart and get two clubs length distance from that. So my guess is it'd be the same thing as that. But yeah, maybe it's not PGA or USGA rules there. Maybe it's, you know, they have their own little golf association.
I mean, it's funny because you grow up on the concept of you play the ball as it lies, but then you watch a lot of these tournaments and it's like you can get a drop for a lot of things. So, I mean, yeah, but to your point, Justin, I don't see any scenario where a ball just ends up on a guy's foot. Just like, oh, I think I'll just stand here with it, like balanced on my foot. but it provides for a great scene by Jaws from James Bond.
But yeah, and who also played Frankenstein in a movie as well, and they reference him as freaking Frankenstein's foot. So,
although this weekend, was it Mackenzie Hughes' tee shot ended up bouncing back up into a tree and sitting up there?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So it depends, you know, who's, you know, what the object is that you're sitting on, but if it's not natural, I think you get the drop.
Okay. Well, how about a TV tower then on Happy next shot?
I would imagine they would certainly clear that. I mean, you have to. I wonder if any, not to that level, but I wonder if there's, I don't know. I can't even think of an example of anything that remotely like that could have happened, or something fell onto the green. There's just nothing that I can ever think of to where it would be like, yeah, she must putt this.
That's got
to
be the most ridiculous part of the movie. You
know? Well, I mean, that's why you saw Lee Trevino practicing miniature golf as well. I mean, you've got to be ready for those types of moments. Yeah.
Doug's there. He's the tour president, but he's also the rules guy, too. He's not every hole. Like, he's also there telling them to hit from this. It's, yeah, that part is like ridiculous, but you know, I mean, that's what the movie is. So
you had to get some Chubb's divine intervention in there, I think.
Exactly. So how about to take it back a little bit? So when he's at the pro-am playing with Bob Barker, so and then Shooter's starting to get a little worried. He hires like the heckling fan, and in, you know, just this past weekend, didn't someone like not silence their phone with Mickelson, and he got real annoyed and then ended up like hitting it into the rough and had a bad round, you know, and partially because of that. So in what world would this heckling fan be allowed to be like, you will not make this putt? Like, speak it directly at him, towards him, and no fans say anything, or I don't know.
Not to mention, he's like kind of popping out behind the green, like there's nothing
else there. Yeah, I guess popping out of the woods. Yeah.
Jackass. Yeah.
Although you can see Bryson nowadays with all the people calling him Brooksy.
Yeah, true.
And I mean, you know, you can kind of say what you want as long as you're not talking while they're hitting, I guess. But
yeah.
But even though he's been having people getting kicked out of the, yeah, out of the fans for calling him Brooksy, which is pretty soft, if you ask me.
Is Bryson like today's modern day Happy Gilmore? I mean, he doesn't have the antics, but he's got the
time. Yeah,
that's a good question. I think so. I was trying to think exactly. I was thinking exactly that. Feels like it's got to be Bryson.
Yeah, yeah. He's a little bit more like calculated and quiet.
But, he's not wearing Subway shirts.
Nobody's like decking, punching people on the course and swearing at the ball. But yeah,
if he does get sponsored by Subway, we might be on to something.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite as likable as Happy Gilmore in the whole entire golf world. all right, let me ask this too. So in what world can you drive a freaking Volkswagen Beetle down the fairway of the Tour Championship? And then what? There's two security guards that chase him after he crashes into the tower and hits a golfer.
And the only person that says look out is like Virginia, yeah, who's like 100 yards away.
Yeah. But everybody has, but my, your sister loves them. Pittsburgh loves them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the guy gets in a fiery crash, gets out of the car and just like takes off. And presumably just runs off to the course to the Sizzler.
Yeah. Red Lobster or whatever.
Oh man.
Any other like mistakes you guys can think of more? I think I covered most of mine. I think Jim, you know, touched on the most egregious. I mean, there's many egregious ones, but the most obvious one to me, besides the car already being there, was why was Happy still finishing up after, you know, like Shooter was, he was being congratulated by the media for winning. And Happy's still on the 17th hole. And then later on, you hear he finished dead last. And he's wearing the same clothes as he was when he teed off. So, you know, those were my biggest mistakes. But, you know, like you said, maybe it's a one-day tournament. I don't know. It's in Portland, and Shooter loves the water up there.
There's one shot, and I can't remember where it is. I think it's in the Tour Championship, where Happy's probably no more than, like, 20 or 30 yards from the green. And I don't know what he hits, but he does his same like run up, and he takes basically a full swing of whatever it was.
Like a 75 degree wedge.
Yeah. There's just some, it's got a lot of questions about the short game. Like he's hitting out of the sand. Like,
yes,
there needed to be a scene with like, with Chubbs where it's like, okay, when you hit it in the sand, you know, like, I mean, there's just, like,
there's a sound effect when he hits it.
Putting. Yeah.
The sound effect, and even when he hits out of the sand, it's like.
Yeah. But
and I'm pretty sure every ball that they showed, like the ball's eye view as it's flying down the fairway, was heading down one of two fairways, basically, as it was in the video.
Yeah,
you guys might have already hit on that one, but.
Yeah.
And this last extremely random one. never yet been to a driving range that has a 400 yard sign.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Hey, it is Waterbury, though. So. All right, let's go to, we'll kind of end with trivia, but let's go to like your favorite quotes of the movie. So what are some of your favorite, you know, we had said right at the beginning, this is probably one of the most quotable movies, at least in our lifetime. So what are some of your, you don't have to name them all, but like, you know, just if you want to say a few, or if you just want to say one and we can go like around. So Hodge, I'm going to start with you. What's your like most memorable quote, or what's one that comes to mind?
Well, I don't want to name a bunch. I'll let everyone else kind of throw theirs in there. But like this is probably the hardest thing to pick out, I would say. But because I like the Bob Barker scene, I got to say, like, the price is wrong, bitch. Is the scene. And then he just grabs his neck, which is probably, I mean, he just looks like he resurrects. That's probably the best, one of my favorite quotes. But there's a ton. I'm sure you guys will hit them, other ones.
Okay. All right. That's good. By the way, real quick fact, I doing some research for this. Bob Barker, black belt in karate, studied under Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I found that.
That's incredible.
I had no idea about that, but I love it.
That's interesting. Jim, how about you?
I'm going to go off the beaten path here. I like at the Silver Acres rest home, the Mista Mista, get me out of here, lady. Yeah. I don't know what it is about that, but I find myself wanting to say it even daily. Like if, you know, the kids are doing something weird, or you know, Lisa's on me for something. Like it's like that actually pops into my head, which is a little disturbing to know that, you know, I probably watch the movie once every 3 years, but still have that weird lady at the rest home popping into my head with her voice.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
You throw a fast food bag of Wendy's at her or something.
Here, eat this.
How about you, Greg?
Oh man. I mean, there's, and I know there's some, I know you're going to get, Justin. This is a random one that I didn't even remember, that I just busted out at when I saw it. It was when I think it might be the only thing that his homeless daddy says was like, I think the putt's going to go a little bit to the right. He's like, you only have one shoe on.
Otto the caddy.
So funny. I completely didn't even remember that.
So good. Mine, I went through my list and I went, this is my number one quote, and it's by both of them. It's by Shooter and Happy. So Shooter in the bar goes, just stay out of my way or you'll pay. Listen to what I say. And then Happy comes back. Hey, why don't I go eat some hay? Make things out of clay? Lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say? I just freaking love that one. It's so good. So that's my top one, but I got a shit ton that I could go off of. Any other ones you guys want to go?
Yeah, there's a lot. When he attacks the clown, I mean, it's just, all he says is, you're going to die, clown. But that's, when anyone says that, you automatically think this movie, you know? I do, at least.
Greg, you got any more?
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No. I think one of my other favorite ones is when Mr. Larson looks at Shooter and goes, that's two thus far, Shooter. Shooter looks back and goes, oh, you can count. Good for you. And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
Also,
Mr.
Larson, like, not to mention, like, you know, we brought him up. He's a great, great, you know, supporting little character there. But like, he grabs his like 9-iron and like just bends it in half, and somehow it's like, all right, that's cool. He's just allowed to do that. Bags sitting right there next to like the crowd.
That's good.
Yeah, and it bends like it's a steel bar, not like a steel like a hollow steel shaft.
Right. Yes. Oh, he's just allowed to keep going, I guess, whatever.
Uh-huh. You got any more, Jim?
Not really a quote, but the one, you know, when they first assign him the caddy for that Waterbury Open, And they give him Will Zalatoris. You know, he's like, don't let me do anything stupid today or something like that. And he's standing right in front of where the guy with him is trying to hit the ball. You know, Daniel Lafferty.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Very good.
Trying to hit the ball and he's just standing right in front of him like he's lost.
Then he said, "Where were you on that one, dipshit?"
That's great.
I think my other favorite ones are just real subtle ones that like we would say like in our day-to-day lives, like if we were playing golf. Like I love the one that he's just like, "Somebody's closer." Like I feel like I still say that now. And then at the beginning when the movers, you know, with him and he's like, look at the way he's standing, and he's like, "You like that?" then he proceeds to hit the ball 400 yards three times.
Not to mention, he hit those two people and somehow they're still alive. Like he hits the one guy and he's like stumbling around as if he just hit his head and then the lady falls out. It's just,
oh man.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you've basically possibly committed like involuntary manslaughter, and he's like, "Oh, let's go back and we better go back inside."
Here's your $20. Yeah,
all right, $40.
How big of a cheese dick is Daniel Lafferty?
Oh,
a good one. I'll hit all day. that line pissed me off more than I can remember. Like watching it again.
Well, it's because you know people like that the golf and that say that exact same line. Yeah. And wear freaking khakis, as George Carlin would say. One last one for me. I just got to get this one in. But it goes back and forth with Chubbs and Happy. But he's like, "Yeah, back in 1965, Sports Illustrated said I was going to be the next Arnold Palmer." Happy says, "Yeah, what happened? They wouldn't let me on the pro tour anymore." "Oh, I'm sorry, because you're black." "Hell no, damn alligator bit my hand off."
That's really good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just the exchanges, like it like feels it, the flow of the movie is just so good. So,
not to mention that I think that every line Ben Stiller says is memorable in this movie.
Exactly. Apparently, there's an uncut version or an editor's or a director's cut where Happy like kicks his ass or throws him out of the window or something. I've never seen it, but apparently it's out there somewhere. So I don't know. All right, you guys can, you want to go like a little round table of trivia here? You guys, I think, have already answered about 10 of my 30 questions that I have. So that's kind of good. All right, so let's see. Greg, this one's a tough one. So I'm going to start this one with you. What was the last name of the golfer who finished second at the Waterbury Open?
Oh my gosh.
It's never mentioned, but it's on the scoreboard.
Yeah, that's, I don't have the first clue. I know Lafferty was up there, but not in second. I have no idea.
Anybody else? Cutchell, Dave?
Not a clue.
All right, it's Capps, K-A-P-P-S, Capps.
Okay.
Right. Andy Capps.
Yeah.
Hot fries.
Hot fries. Oh man.
Dave, we'll go to you. What hockey record does Happy hold?
He's the only one to take his skate off to try to stab somebody.
That is correct.
Yeah. And there was another one. I'm trying to think. There's another one now that I'm blanking on.
I think it was penalty minutes, maybe.
Yeah. Consecutive. Yeah. Penalty minutes. Yeah.
All right. Cutchell, this one's tough too. The first tour event that Happy plays in is in what city? Northwest.
There's a basketball team there.
Yes.
Was it the Portland one?
Portland, yeah. The Portland AT&T Invitational. All right, Greg, back to you. This one's easy. How much did a handmade quality shit quilts cost that Ben Stiller is selling? Cost.
It's $100.
Incorrect. Dave?
$200.
Oh.
High quality.
Quilts are handmade quilts, Greg.
Ah, shunned.
All right. Dave, name one. All right. Happy in the movie names two ways. He says two ways his girlfriend dies. in the movie, even though she didn't die.
Yeah.
You name one of them.
She was, one was hit by a bus, maybe.
Hit by a car.
Hit by a car. Okay.
The other one's funny.
It falls and dies on impact, like falls out of something.
Fell off a cliff and died on impact.
Died on impact.
Oh, man. All right.
So also, incidentally, that's like there's at least two Adam Sandler movies where the girlfriend leaves right at the beginning of the movie. Big Daddy's the other one that I can think of.
Oh, yeah.
Also, yeah, that little scene with them going back, he's like, I've seen those finger paints you bring home. They suck. That match is still pretty good. He's great. Anyways, good scene. It's a good scene. It's underrated.
Well, and then after that, he just randomly sleeps with that lady.
That old
man.
Yes.
Oh my
God. She comes around with a cereal with like no.
You don't want breakfast?
No breakfast. Oh man. All right. Jim, how many words does Jack Beard, who is Vern Lundquist's partner, say during the movie? How many words?
No idea. Zero.
Zero is correct. He doesn't say a word. He makes a couple sounds, but he doesn't say a word.
Trying to get something out. Yeah.
One character we haven't talked about is Gary Potter, who is played by Kevin Nealon. So Kevin Nealon's character is Gary Potter. What word, Greg, does Happy and Gary use to describe each other after the first hole?
Psycho.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Very good. All right, Hodge. What event does Happy come in 21st place, win $12,600, and beat up an alligator?
Oh, man.
It's on the flags, so that's the only way I was able to pull it.
Yeah. I'm not going to know. I think the tour championship was in Cleveland, I thought. I can't remember.
There was the Cleveland Classic, but okay. It's not that one.
Yeah.
This would have had to have been in Florida, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And think of a part of Florida where there would be a lot of alligators.
Naples.
Not a city, but a part.
It's a joke.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking Tampa area, right? But
it's got to be the Everglades, something. Everglades.
It was called the Everglades Open.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. This is for anybody who wants it. Who did Happy have a crush on at an early age? What actress?
This is when he's on the ice rink and he's talking about it.
Uh huh.
Hmm. Got it.
Joan Rivers? I don't know. No.
Joan Rivers.
I don't know why that came to my mind. No. I can't remember.
I got it if nobody
does it. All right, go ahead, Greg.
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields is correct.
Yeah.
All right. I think Greg mentioned this one already, but I don't think Cutchell was on. Who did Bob Barker win the Pepsi Pro-Am with the year before?
Oh.
He says it's a legit golfer's name.
I remember him saying it. I cannot remember who it was.
What if I gave you the initials NF?
Or SNF, depending on how you look at it.
Correct. Yeah.
I had no idea. NF.
How about if I say the name Nick?
Nick Faldo.
Yep, Nick Faldo.
Sir Nick Faldo.
Sir Nick Faldo. What team's gear does hockey wear the does what hockey team's gear does Happy wear the most in the movie?
Bruins.
Boston Bruins. Very good. All right. What is Happy's punishment for fighting with Bob Barker?
I know it, but
there's actually two, it's a two part thing. A fine and a suspension for how long?
1 month suspension.
That is correct. And a
$20,000
fine? $25,000
fine.
Okay.
Well, it's not.
All right. Just a couple more.
With shooter's advice. Yeah.
What's Happy's favorite Subway sub?
I got that one too. But
yeah.
Cold cut combo.
Cold cut combo. I eat three every day.
not the best sub for you, but you still.
that commercial is actually pretty realistic for like a 90, like a weird 90s yeah. sports commercial. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just something like stupid, like in a sub. Like, you totally buy that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see a couple more. What brand of putter is the modified putter Chubbs buys Happy?
I did see that one too, yeah.
Is it Odyssey?
It is Odyssey. Very good. Very good. What is on Mr. Larson's shirt on the 18th hole? What's the saying on his shirt?
Oh, you guys got to know this one.
On. Guns don't kill people, I kill people.
That's good. After he wins the tour championship and gets the house back and they go there, who appears over his grandma's house that only he can see? There's three characters.
Dubs, Abraham Lincoln, and the alligators. I don't know why Abraham Lincoln's there.
And that makes it so good. All right. Let's just do two more here. All right. He lists seven at the beginning of the movie. Can you name, how many jobs can you name that Happy held before becoming a golfer?
Okay.
This is when he's like, you know, yeah. like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's road worker.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Road worker.
Road worker yeah. is one.
Security guard.
Plumber with his full his pants.
All right. So you got road worker, security guard, and plumber.
Janitor.
Janitor is correct.
Yes.
Construction.
Construction is correct. Dave, what did you say?
Gas station attendant.
Gas station attendant. Is that all of them?
That's six, right? Is that, wow, that's impressive.
I just think of all the different objects you can
Road worker, janitor, security guard, gas station attendant, plumber, construction. I guess there was six. Yeah, I thought there were seven. There's six. So you guys got them all? That's impressive. All right, last one. Shooter's jacket size is?
44 long.
Very good. And which arm is a little bit longer?
I'm guessing right.
His right arm is just a little bit longer than his left. Very, very good.
Which, by the way, you notice that, like, within like 8 seconds from hitting the putt, Doug's bringing the jacket out to
the I believe that's Mr. Gilmore's. He starts running down the fairway with him.
Yeah.
So interesting thing, real quick, I haven't read that, but two big parallels to Caddyshack in this movie. One is I feel like the Kevin Nealon character is kind of a direct knockoff to Chevy Chase,
mm-hmm.
just maybe more weird. And then same thing, like weird ass happening on the last hole, followed by somebody getting chased down the fairway. And Caddyshack, it's helped the judge find his wallet when he sends those two like goons after him. So I'm sure that's not a coincidence.
That's true. Yeah, that's very good. Very good. Any other final points that, you know, before we give our grades here? Any other things we can think about? I mean, I think we literally hit just about everything. I'm sure we left out something, but for the most part. So let me start with you, Dave. If you have to give a grade for this movie based on a 1 to 100 scale, what would you give this movie?
Well, the one tidbit I'll throw out there, I mean, is that I don't know. I looked up if Happy Land's in that real place. I wanted to see if that clown is actually a real place you can putt at, but supposedly it is in Vancouver, Canada, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
If overall, I'm going to throw out like a 91, 92. I'll say a 91. I'll stick with the original one. Like
it's
pretty dang close. One of my favorite Adam Sandler's for sure. So,
okay.
Surprised, like, again, it's not as high grossing as some of his other films.
It's true. That's true. Okay. All right, Greg, how about you? So, Dave, did you say 91 or 92?
We'll go 91.
Okay. Greg, how about you?
I mean, I love the movie. I'm going to go a little lower, though. I'm going to say 82. It's a great movie, and it's one of my favorite sports movies. Maybe I'll say the golf inaccuracies knock it down just a little bit.
Okay. Kachal, how about you?
Well, I'm going to go 85. I think it's great for like a mindless comedy. Mm-hmm. But you know, to get, I think, up in the 90s, it's, to me, it's got to be something that like really like knocks you out of your seat from a, like either an action or like a plot standpoint, or, and this doesn't really have the plot depth that you're looking for, I think, for a 90s, at least for me, but from a comedy standpoint, it's spectacular.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. And yeah. And to your point, I'm going to go 87. I just think that's kind of right in the perfect spot because of the quotableness. And I think it's a movie that if it's on TV, you're watching it, you know? And, so this was a lot of fun, guys. I appreciate it. You know, we're going to continue to do more of these like month to month. And anytime you guys got an open invite, so we'll catch more of these. And anybody watching, if we missed anything, you know, feel free to write in and let us know. Appreciate you guys, and we'll talk soon.